Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message.
All right, 10:15, you ready for God's word? Come on, get excited. We're going to think about this. We're going to read from the living, active word of God. That should just blow us away every single week. Let's never get numb to this truth. And hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Keith. My wife Amy and I are really privileged to just serve as the lead pastors here at Blaze Church. And we were so grateful that you're with us on such an incredible Sunday. You know, this week I did a lot of reflecting as I'm just thinking how, like, today is, it's not a finish line, everybody, because we just keep running the race for Jesus, don't we? Like, that's our invitation, to just run for him until he returns. And so it really isn't like a finish. It's also kind of like I think it's just a turning of a page. Like, if you don't know the story, October 4, 2015 was the first time that I stood up here and just preached to a room. I won't tell you if it was empty or full or not, but you can imagine how it was 5 years ago. And my message was on ice cream. I just talked about how Jesus can't be the topping on our sundae. Like, I clearly had no idea what I was doing. And I still don't. But I'm grateful for a great team that's with it. But it's awesome. Over 270 Sundays since then where we've gathered in this space. And next week, we will gather at the Residence Inn, 2012 Old Country Road, right across from Tanger Outlets. And it's going to be awesome. You'll hear about our service times. I've been telling you 8:30, 10, 11:30. But I'm telling you, we are going to celebrate. Like, guys, we are bringing Jesus into that space. Like, the church is not a building. The church is the people of God who are gathering. And I'm just so excited. Next week, I believe, I'm already praying, there's going to be people walking through the lobby and be like, what is that amazing music? What is that smell of coffee? How many believe people are going to know God starting next week in a whole new way while we're saying, don't come to us, we're coming to you. And so it's going to be awesome. So plan to be with us. I'll just let you in on a little secret. It's going to be rough. We're going to get the lighting wrong. We're going to learn some things, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be there, and you should definitely invite your friends, because there's just going to be so much just excitement, just like spirit-filled energy, not just emotional energy, but just excitement for what next week will look like. So stay connected on your emails. You'll get all the details that you need and regarding Blaze Kids and everything, but it's going to be an awesome Sunday. I got dressed up for today. Someone asked, are you going to always wear a suit? I said, I don't know. I just know that I bought them for Legacy Dinner, and I want to wear them now on Sunday. So I'll shock you next week. I'll wear ripped jeans or something. Just keep us all moving together. But man, today's a great Sunday. We are continuing this series, I'll Do It Tomorrow. And I want you to say that title with me, but I want you to say it with attitude this time. Like, I want you to, from your spirit, if you are made new in Christ, your spirit has been made new. I want your flesh to hear the attitude in your voice, right? Like, I want your mind to hear it. I want your soul. Just say, enough is enough. Come on, say it with some attitude. Enough is enough. Like, really, that's what today is all about, guys. I've really been praying, and today is day 15 of 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I've been praying that this would be a day where something wells up in us that says, no, not anymore. Like, enough is enough with this sin. Enough is enough with this addiction. Enough is enough with this trap that I just keep falling. Enough is enough with these thoughts that I continue to have. No more about this worry. No more about not trusting God with this area of my life. Today is a freedom day. How many would say you want today to be your freedom day? Because I do. There's parts of my life that I just want to know, no, enough is enough. No more of this. Like, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know if it is the tie or not. I'm just fired up for Jesus. Like, I want to pursue him with everything I have, guys. I want to live a holy life before God. That's my heart. And it doesn't rest in what you wear or your actions on the surface. I just want to be surrendered to the work of the Holy Spirit. Like, I know what Zechariah said, it is not by might or by power, it is only by God's Spirit that things are accomplished. It's only by him. And so really today, we're going to get fired up together. We are going to lean into no more of this, because I'm praying for you that during these 21 days that you're very much hearing the Holy Spirit speak. If you're not hearing him speak, I'll let you in on a little secret. The issue isn't with him, the issue is with you and me. Because he's faithful to speak. He will show us the areas in our life that we are too connected to the world, where we're not connected enough to him. He's speaking, and I'm praying that as he's showing you those areas, your response is then surrender. All right, God, you've shown me I'm way too connected. I have way too much of the old way. There's too much old patterns here. I'm going to surrender. I want to read to you a quote by Pastor Chris Hodges that I think will just help us really just bring to the surface, what is that area? What is that thing that needs to be surrendered? He writes this, it's that one area that keeps holding you back. It's that same request that's, it's almost always in your prayers. You know, Lord, take it away. Lord, I want to stop. God, just help me. Like that same prayer request, it's that constant goal, right? New year, but it's the same goal that shows up each year in your resolutions. It's that secret that you're afraid to share. Like, I want you to think today, like, what's that area in your life that you just wish it wasn't there? Like, you just want that gone. And we've got those areas, guys. Believers or not, there are these parts of us that's why this is a process of sanctification, being more made into the image of Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit. There's these areas that we say, but I just need to find freedom here. If I could just be set free here, if I could no longer carry this addiction, if I didn't have this shame and this guilt, if I didn't have unforgiveness in me, if I didn't have lust in me, if my thoughts were pure, it's that area that I want to talk about today. And I want to talk about it in such a way where you are just built up and fired up with faith to say what we said together, enough is enough. Come on, enough is, I want to run this race well. Because we have a purpose here, guys, at Blaze Church. And you just saw a video on it. You see it when you walk in. Even in our new space, I'm so excited. We got a big 10-foot by 8-foot sign that'll be right in the lobby that says these words, know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. Like, this is the plan that God has for our lives. This is the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. But I'm praying today that we would understand, how do we find freedom? How do we get to a place, not just emotionally in a setting like this, where we say, okay, no more. I'm not going to do that any longer. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to think that way. Not just say it here, and then we get back onto our lives and routines, and it feels like we're just beat up again. Losing that battle, but how do we really find freedom? And so we're going to look to Scripture, and I'm going to show you. It's just laid out right by the author of Hebrews how we find freedom today. So if you brought your Bible with you, I hope you did. This is the year of BYOB, okay? It's just, everybody, bring your own Bible to church in 2021, because I want the Holy Spirit, as you're looking down at Him, say, highlight that, go back to that later. If you don't own a Bible, grab one off the table when you leave today. But I want to give you a little context before we get there, but if you have it, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews is towards the end of the Bible. It's right near the end there. Hebrews was written specifically to Christians who were considering going back to Jewish customs and traditions. So think about this. For all these years, God had spoke to His people, the Jewish people, and He said, here's the commands to keep, here's the laws to observe, here's the holy days, here's the atonement sacrifices, here's the temple, here's all of this. And then Jesus comes and fulfills it, but now they're struggling a little bit. I think that's okay. They're just saying, like, what do we do with all of that? Like, really the issue was, can't we believe in Jesus, but don't we also have to make, like, sacrifice? And don't we also need, like, Moses and in the Psalms? And I just want to say this. Jesus, His words were, I did not come to get rid of the Old Testament. Like, your Bible, more than 2/3 of it is the Old Covenant, that the first 39 books. And we don't just skip to Matthew and say, the first 39 have no purpose. No, they do. And the author of Hebrews shows us their purpose. It's to show the supremacy and the superiority of Jesus Christ. Like, that's what Hebrews does. It just shows, well, Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. When we read about these things, we just think, oh, that showed me Jesus. Man, that David and Goliath just showed me the Jesus that stepped out and fought the giant for me. Like, we read in context of that. And so what the author of Hebrews has been doing up until chapter 3 is just showing, here's why Jesus is greater than angels. Like, we believe that. Like, we don't pray to angels or saints. No, the author, chapters 1 and 2, just read it, just talks about Jesus is greater than angels. Those are just messengers from God. We go straight to Jesus. And then in chapter 3, the author starts talking about Moses, like this revered prophet of the Old Testament. And in this chapter, he's going to show us what an abundant life looks like. So if you want to know, what's the most free way I can live? How can I really live a free life for Jesus? He's going to show us 3 unique areas where we need to be free. Starts right in verse 1. He says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, say these next words with me. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Okay? Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Now, just participate with me. I want to know where we are. So we, not just you. Where are my daydreamers at? Come on, how many of us? We could zone out for days, and it just feels so good to get lost. Remember Inside Out? What would that train, the train would go by, and it's like daydream. Like just, I can find myself at times, I'm even sitting down at the table with Nate, and Nate will notice it because you get the glazed look. You're just staring off, haven't picked up your food in a little bit. And he's just, Daddy, what are you thinking about? It's amazing how our thoughts can just run wild. Come on, it's you could be doing something and you could just suddenly, it's just like pizza. Like for the last 15 days, I don't know why that thought just keeps coming in my head. 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's just like all of a sudden you're just thinking, like it's just, wow. And let's be serious though. There are times where as believers, we can have these thoughts that don't honor God at all. Like you're just like, why am I thinking that way? Why is there anger in my thoughts? Why is there lust in my thoughts? Why am I thinking about that? And here the author of Hebrews says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. To which we all say, better said than done. Be honest, fix my thoughts. Another author in scripture says, take captive every thought. And yet too often, we can be taken captive by our thoughts. We can get led astray by our thoughts and suddenly have these thoughts that just don't honor God. I want to read you a quote from Martin Luther. He was a preacher during the Reformation. I love what he said. He said, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's funny and wise. But really, he said this in the context of thoughts and staying fixed on Jesus. Where is it that there's thoughts in our lives that it's not just it came, but really we grabbed onto it. We started dwelling on that thought. We started believing that lie. We started just allowing our thoughts to be, a nest was built there. How many would say, I want to find freedom in my mind? I want thoughts that are fixed on Christ. Well, we're going to read on and discover exactly how. Now, the next thing the author does is he compares the greatness of Jesus to Moses by comparing a builder of a house to the house itself. You know, what's so funny is like, if you've ever done house shopping or you watch some HGTV, we're always amazed by the product. Like, you walk into a house, you're like, you're just the colors, the finishings, the whole thing. Very rarely we walk in and say, man, someone get me the name of the builder of this place. Man, they did a great job. Like, but think about it. Like, Joanna does her thing designing it, but Chip builds the thing. Like, it's both end, but too often we're not thinking about the greatness of the builder. And what the author does is saying, hey, yeah, the house is great, but the one who builds it is even greater. And he tells us that his name is Jesus. Look at what he says in verse 6. Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. And I love this part. We are his house. He's talking to believers. Like, if you are in Christ today, you are actually, in analogy, the house of God. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. See, I think that part is important for us to understand. First, what I love about this verse is this is exactly why we can be Blaze Church in a hotel ballroom next week. Because church is not confined to a structure or a building. We don't need a church building to be the church. The church and God's house is the people of God. And so I'm telling you, like, when we go there, that is the church. When you're gathered in homes for small groups, that is the church. Wherever the people of God are gathering to worship the name of the Lord, to show people how great Jesus is, there is God's house. But notice the if indeed we hold firmly to confidence and hope. Now, I don't know what this past year did for each one of us individually, but I think I can say with some assurance, collectively as a human species, it took a little hope and confidence. Come on, like it just did. It took some of that. Like, maybe for you, you had job security up until 2020. You just so sure of things, and then a little bit of confidence was lost. You thought that person would be around to celebrate the holidays, and they weren't. Right? Like there was loss and there was tragedy. And in 2 weeks, actually, we're going to talk extensively about grief and tragedy and loss and how to process that today. But I just want to say, like, if today you're coming in here and there's some confidence loss, and there's some hope loss, you may be wondering, well, how am I supposed to honor God when I feel hopeless, when I feel like I'm in a hopeless situation? And the enemy will do everything he can to condemn you and to put guilt on you and say, come on, you're supposed to always be a happy Christian. Your soul is supposed to always be well, right? That's really what he's talking about. First, he said it's your mind where you fix your thoughts. Now he's saying your soul, that place where the emotions are, that you got to hold on to hope. But what do we do when we are faced with hopelessness? Like, how do we continue to honor God and live in freedom when we feel like all of our hope and confidence is being stripped away? We're going to see the answer. But first, he gives us one more area in our lives where we can often experience defeat. He says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today, I love that because this whole series is not about tomorrow. Today, if you hear his voice, which I believe anytime we open scripture, we hear the voice of God. So here we are hearing his voice. What's our response? Do not harden your hearts. And what the author is doing here is he's actually quoting from Psalm 95, which was Jewish writing, and it's a psalm where they remember how God, what did we sing this morning? They got out of Egypt, but then in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts. They didn't follow God, and then they wandered for 40 years. And so the psalm was specifically encouraging the people of Israel, saying, hey, you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart, to which we might say, awesome, I got a pass, because this doesn't apply to me. This is just an old psalm. Well, that look at verse 12. The author goes on. See to it, brothers and sisters, he's writing to believers, that none of you has, say these three words, a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Now, I want to highlight something that I'm not going to go into extensively, but I do want you to understand this, what we see in Scripture. He said, brothers and sisters, which means these are people who are saved. Their salvation is held by Jesus. Jesus said, I know my sheep. No one can snatch them from my hand. So these people have believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord and Savior. They're saved. And yet, they're doubting. And yet, he's saying, no, don't have an unbelieving, a sinful heart that will turn you away from God. And really what I believe the author is doing here is he's calling us to do a spiritual EKG. Like just, he's spiritually saying, check on the strength of your heart. How is not the muscle that pumps blood through your body, that heart, that word is really, it's the will. It's the place where beliefs are. It's your intention center. And he's saying, it is easy for you to embrace doubt and disbelief. And when that happens, sin follows right along with it. I think if I doubt the goodness of God, then I'm just going to follow my own way. Well, following my own way is sin. And here it is. The author is saying, listen, there's freedom to be found in your mind. Fix your thoughts on him. There's freedom to be found in your soul. You can hold on to hope. There's freedom to be found in your heart. You can believe in God. And he's really just showing us a picture of the life of a believer. And I think he borrowed the words of Jesus. And Jesus actually borrowed the words of Moses in Deuteronomy. Because look, when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He replies this way. Say this whole verse with me. I want you to see this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Jesus is giving us a full picture of what it looks like to be free in all of ourselves. Saying, listen, you got to love him with your heart, with the place where you believe. Yeah, but Jesus, there are days where I doubt and I sin. So what does that mean? You've got to love him with your soul, that place where emotions are. Yeah, but there are days where I feel crushed. What then? You've got to love him with your mind. Fix your thoughts. Yeah, but there are times where my thoughts just go crazy, Jesus. Like, how am I supposed to do this? That's our question. How do we find freedom today in these areas? And the answer is you. Not you, but you, the person next to you. In fact, look at that person awkwardly right now. That you're looking at the answer to this, and I'll show you what I mean. I'll show you in just a second, but I do want you to understand this. Remember, he's writing to people who know God, and I want to be very clear here. We are only saved by Jesus Christ and him alone. That is how you are saved. That is how you are adopted as a child of God, that your new identity is brother and sister in the Lord. Like, you are the family of God. You can't look to another person. You can't look to a pastor or a priest. You can't look to yourself to save you. You and I need Jesus Christ. Okay, I just You got to be clear with that. No God is found by knowing Jesus. But what we're talking about today is, okay, now that I know him, how do I find freedom? How does my mind get renewed? How does my soul be sure? How does my heart continue to believe? And here's the answer, verse 13. But encourage, say these two words, one another. Okay, for there to be a one another, that means I need you. You need you. You need the person next to you. It says, encourage one another, how often? Daily. As long as it is called, what's that word? Today. This whole month is about what are the things that we've said I'll do tomorrow that God has said no today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What the author is showing us is that every single believer needs mutual accountability. That's simply just a big word that means I need people in my life who care about my mind, my soul, and my heart, and I need to be encouraged daily. So I'm going to say something and get a little in your business for a moment, okay? If you're offended, just get up and walk out, okay? That'd be awkward if that happened, right? Don't do that. Just fix your thoughts on Jesus. Don't think angry thoughts at me, okay? Okay, I can guarantee, not on my word, but on Scripture, I can guarantee the area in your life where you are not experiencing freedom is an unconfessed area to another believer. It's Scripture. We actually talked about it at prayer yesterday. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and you will be healed. If you have problems with your thoughts and your thoughts continue to run wild, you have not yet told somebody, I have lustful thoughts. I have anxious thoughts. If you just feel overwhelmed with grief, you have not told another believer, you know what? You ask me how I am, and the Long Island answer is fine, good. I'm really not. Like you haven't actually expressed, you know what? This Christian thing, I don't know that I believe. I just can't. My heart cannot. You have not said that to another believer. That is why you have not found freedom. And the enemy will do everything he can to isolate you and convince you, don't share that with anybody. Because if you share, you're going to get the scarlet letter. You're going to get kicked out of the church. You're going to get pushed aside. Can I just say this? And if you agree, you can amen me hard and loud. Blaze Church is an area where you can share what you're actually going through. Like, that part of our church culture, for 5 years, we have been intentional to make sure that you can actually share, no, I've got sin in my life and I want to find freedom from it, and I'm not going to just hide it and get all dressed up and come in on a Sunday, hey, brother, bless the Lord, sister, isn't it good to be in his house, glory, and then I get back in the car and right back to the same garbage and sin and keep it in our homes and keep it secret, when this is a place where you've got to confess, because you need to be encouraged daily. You want to find freedom today. It starts with encouraging one another daily. Where does that happen at Blaze Church? It happens in our small groups. It does, guys. And this is not just like, I know now. It's small group pitch Sunday. Yes, it is, okay? But that's not just because the calendar year said I'm supposed to preach on this. Guys, we will preach on this regularly throughout the year, because you've got to understand this is the heartbeat of our church for you to find freedom. Like, Sundays are not enough. I love Sundays. I love gatherings like this. I love that our church is so large that we need 3 services, and now we're going to be in a larger space. But guys, Sunday service is not designed where you can pull someone aside and say, hey, by the way, I've got this going on in my heart. By the way, I've got my soul is crushed. By the way, my thoughts need help. That's just not the space. But there is a space, and it is in our small groups. You've got to be plugged into a small group. You have to. I have to. Jesus had to. Did you know that when Jesus went to the garden, he brought his small group with him? And he expressed to those guys, not all 12, not the crowds, not on a service style, in a small group, he said to them, my soul is crushed. Jesus. And if he found it necessary to express to other believers, my soul is crushed, guys, I need you. I'm in a small group because I need to be encouraged daily. We all need it. So I'm just really, I'm doing my best today as we get ready to launch small groups for you to make a decision today. I'm going to be in a small group. I'm going to be connected to other believers because enough is enough. Because I'm ready to find freedom. And this is the year where freedom will be found. You know, I shared with you the commandment Jesus said was the greatest, but he didn't stop there.
He said the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what I found is this, it's real hard to love your neighbor if you're not close to your neighbor. Right? You can't love somebody you don't know. You can't love your neighbor if you're not connected to them. And guys, when I say I love you and I love Blaze Church, you understand that my love for you is different than when I'm tracking with a small group of people for 13 weeks. And now the way that I can love those people is I can say, I know this individual. God, I love them because their soul is overcome with grief. God, I love this person and I'm praying for freedom in their mind. Come on, we've got to be connected to each other. So we're going to launch our small groups. We're talking about love. Anyone want to guess when we're launching our small groups? Love Day, February 14th. Okay, it's real. Just making the dots like from A to B. Real simple here, okay? Just February 14th, we're starting what we call our spring semester of small groups, which will run for 13 weeks. And you might say, okay, well, that's in a couple weeks, and this whole series is about today. So what do I do today? I'm going to give you a couple things to do. The first thing that I'm strongly urging you to do today is to make a decision that when February 14th comes, you will be in a small group. This is called a pre-decision. This is called between now and then, the enemy spiritually is going to do everything he can to tell you, you don't need it, you're fine, you're good, come on, don't get there, because all he wants to do is keep us isolated. He wants to keep us disconnected from each other. And I do believe one of the lessons we learned last year is the importance of community, like of actually being together and knowing each other. It's the one thing God said in the garden was not good. It is not good for man to be alone. And we're just right now, we're getting ready for his trap. He's going to keep telling you, you don't need a group. You don't need it. Make the decision today that you will be in a small group on February 14th. Some of you, the Holy Spirit is going to stir your heart to lead a small group. And today you can make that decision. In fact, we have a website, blazechurch.org/groups, and on it, there is a button that says register a new group. And if you've led a group before, you got to click that button if you want to do it again. And if you've never led a group and you're feeling like, well, I feel like there's something in me, but I don't know if I'm qualified. Let me tell you, you're qualified. We're going to walk with you through that. We're going to get you trained up. Pastor Amy, that's her lane. She just gets you ready to be a small group leader. And it doesn't mean that you have to walk through a Bible study or a book. We actually have all different kinds of groups. You can start a group that just tries different foods. And if you do, please invite me. But it's just whatever, you can make a group about games. And we're going to walk you through it because all of our groups have a certain model so that we can rally together and connect with each other and find freedom. But really, I encourage you, go to that website and click the button. It'll ask you, like, well, what are you considering? It'll give you like over 15 different choices of styles of groups. But guys, I mean this. I believe we need to find freedom. Like, enough is enough. The enemy cannot keep us bound. We have been given an abundant life through Jesus. And this is a part of that. And if you just think, well, I don't really need a group. I'm kind of walking with him. I'm doing well. Well, then here's why you need to be in a group, because another person needs you to be there. Think about that. It might feel like you've got it all together, and that's awesome. Like, if you've been walking with Jesus for so long that you think you don't need to learn, I pray we never get there. But if that's where there's something in you that says that, then think about from this way. You need to love your neighbor. Someone needs your experience. Someone needs your encouragement. And I promise you, you will be encouraged as well when you start to encourage others. Now, I want to end with the verse we started with, because maybe you're hearing this and you're not on Find Freedom. You don't know God yet. And we do believe that's a starting point. Let me show you how you know God. We already read it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. See, we believe, the scripture says, salvation, us being rescued from our sins and made new, comes by means of acknowledging Jesus. Doesn't require another person. Doesn't require you confessing your sin to someone to be saved. It's Jesus. And look what the author says, acknowledge him as apostle and high priest. An apostle is one who is sent. God so loved the world that he sent his son. And a high priest, remember this Jewish culture, they would have known the high priest is the one that makes sacrifice for people. Jesus himself came and made a sacrifice for us, and it was him. And so if you don't know God today, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to acknowledge him as apostle and high priest. And you you will know God. You Scripture says, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And so we're going to do that as a church. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads as you're sitting and ask the worship team to join me on a stage here. But right now, as our heads are bowed, if you don't know God as your Savior today, you've never acknowledged Jesus as Lord and Savior, as the one who was sent to pay the price for you, I'm going to invite you to pray. Just where you are, just whisper this out to him. Jesus, I acknowledge you as apostle, high priest. Jesus, I acknowledge you as the Lord of my life today. Jesus, I surrender. I can't save myself and no person can, but you died for me. But if you're making that declaration right now, I ask you to just slip up your hand so I can pray over you. Saying, Jesus, I want to know you today. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Make me brand new. He's got a good plan for us. Now, God, I pray for every person in this space and for those online. Lord, I pray that today our hearts were encouraged and just shown so clearly how we might find freedom. Lord, we thank you for the gift of other believers. We thank you that we together are your house and that we need one another. God, I pray that as we get closer to February 14th, that we are making a decision every day from now till then. I will be in a small group. I will be connected to other people. I need a place where I can connect, protect, and grow with others. God, I come against the enemy that will do his best to isolate us, to trap us, to keep us going back to that same sin, that same request, that same goal. No, this is a freedom year in Jesus' name. So, Lord, I thank you for those whose hearts you're stirring to lead a group. They would honor you. Take that step. God, we thank you that today we make a decision to find freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.